We usually do a series on the home around this time of year, every year. Home is so important. I don't care if you're one person in the home or if you're 10 people in the home. A home is important. It's supposed to be a place of rest for us. It's supposed to be a place of building up, of sticking together. It's our home base, if you will. And it's important that we cover it, but it's important that we cover it according to the Word of God. And so when I began to pray about how God wanted us to dip into this, the direction He took me in, I've never gone before. And so it's interesting. He took me to the book of Revelation, which we've kind of been talking a little bit about the letters to the seven churches. We haven't dove into it yet on Wednesday nights, but we're getting close. And so it was fresh on my mind where Jesus said this in Revelation 3 in verse 20. He said, "Look, I have been standing at the door, and I am constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door," so it's not just if you hear me calling, if you hear me knocking, it's if anyone hears me knocking and opens the door, "I'll come in and fellowship with him," or "sup with him," and "him with me." And this word, "I'll come in and sup with him," or "I'll come in and fellowship with him," or "I'll come in and dine with him," some versions say. This is like me saying, "Come have coffee with me." That's our generation would have said, "Meet me at Midtown." I'm sorry, Natural State. They changed the name and it's like so hard on my head. It'd be like, "Let's talk," right? Mark sees me in there all the time, meeting with people. Why? Because it's an atmosphere that's non-threatening, that's an atmosphere of calm and visiting across a table. And people open up their hearts and it opens up conversation. That's the invitation that Jesus said he's giving to you. Hi, Vic and Nancy. Good to have you home. That's the invitation he's giving to you. What's he wanting? It's not, what does that mean? On Monday morning, what does that mean? We're talking about the home. If you're having a problem at home, he's knocking. He wants to talk about it. And the first thing we want to do when we have a problem in the home is not let anybody know about it. Sometimes we don't even let our spouse know about it. We want to hide it. And the Lord is willing to talk and to listen to you about any nook and cranny of your life. There is no part, if you've got a pornography addiction, Jesus wants to sit at the table. He wants to visit about it. He wants you to talk to him about it. Y'all, the church has been too rigid, and we've been afraid to bring up real life circumstances that are going on in Christian homes. And I want you to know, if you're a man here and you're having an addiction or a temptation towards pornography or adultery or fornication or any of those big words, sex stuff, don't come talk to me. John and Dylan. Bo. Mark. Wes. You can be real with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, be selective. Because you want somebody that's going to point you in the right direction and somebody that's not going to go tell the world. We're supposed to be such a ecclesia, such a church family, that there's somebody in this body that you can connect to, that you can trust, that will lead you in the right direction. Women, if you're having a problem with pornography, this is now not just a man problem. We deal with almost as many women who have fallen into that temptation, and then they're trapped in it and they don't quite know how to get out. And who wants to go to your mate and tell them? Although, that needs to happen. And we need to help each other. And we need to walk with each other. And so if you're a woman and you're having issues with fornication or a temptation for an affair or temptation in pornography or drugs, I mean, gossiping, it doesn't matter. If you're a woman, come to me. I also have Tanya in the office who is always willing to sit down with people. So we've got, there's good. Look, just because you have a temptation or you've fallen into addiction does not mean you're not a good person. Good people make wrong decisions. Good people get trapped. And I want to just say, don't be afraid. Amen. We've probably heard it before. And we've heard a few new things over the years. But really, it all comes down to one thing. God died for it. He died for you to be free from it. Not only be free from it, be free from the guilt of it. And that's really what it all comes down to. And so when we start talking about Jesus wants to come to your table, he wants to talk to you about your home, whether you're married, not married, it doesn't matter. Home's home. It's supposed to be a good place. And Jesus is willing to talk to us about it. The light places, the dark places, the beautiful things, the ugly things. Just believe and know that he is knocking. And he wants to talk to you about it. And you know, when he comes, I just got this image. I'm a visual person. I got this picture of how we see him knocking at our door to enter our home with his white gloves, coming in to examine for dirt. That's the way the world has portrayed God. He's there with his white gloves. Let's go see if we can find some dirt at the hog's house. That's their last name. I'm not talking about the Razorbacks. Go Hawks. That's how we have him pictured. And I thought, no, when we open that door, if there's stuff in our house that needs, he's standing there with a broom in hand. Yep. He's and then I had the thought, he's standing there with hammer and nail, and I thought, no, he's standing there with nails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
That's it right there.
Amen. Repair, rebuild, help. That's how he stands there. He didn't just have pinned what we need from salvation from the flames of hell. He had pinned what we needed salvation from hell on earth. And if you don't have a good home to go home to, or if you are the problem in your home, you know, you can live alone and still have a problem at home. I've done it. I've been single. And you know what? I had a problem. I had a problem at home, and I was it. Everybody laughing knows exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? He wants us to live in peace. He wants us to live in joy. He wants your house. Yes, we're going to have things to deal with at home. There's going to be time that there's conflict that has to be resolved. There's going to be time that there's disagreements. There's going to be times that our feelings get hurt. There's going to be times that there's financial pressure or things didn't quite turn out the way we thought. And there's going to be things that we have to deal with, but home ought to be a place that we get together on it. We ought to be a force to be reckoned with. You know, Mom's doing great, by the way, if you've missed her, if you hadn't missed her, whatever. She's probably watching, so everybody shake your hands. Oh, we've missed her. Yes. Mom, I got a message from Miss Kat this morning. She's missing her Sunday morning hugs. You better get up and get after it. She had been in the hospital for 9 days, and we didn't advertise it because she did not need company, and she still doesn't need company. And so, you know, I was staying there with her at the hospital and running in and out, back and forth at home, occasionally running into Rusty. And one day I got home and my house, I mean, Rusty's great. He's keeping the laundry up and, you know, he'll load the dishwasher and stuff like that. But, you know, a woman, it's her nest, you know what I'm saying? And we just see things differently sometimes. Or at least I do. I probably shouldn't make that generality. But most of the time, you know, it's our nest. And I was talking to Rusty, and he said, oh, yeah, so-and-so came by, and he was helping me with such-and-such on the boat, and he wanted to see the inside of the house. Y'all, I've been gone for 9 days. And before that, I had grandkids that were ill, and I was helping with them. So it's been like, oh, y'all. Rusty said the forbidden words. And his wife was in the car, and we asked if she wanted to come in and see it. Fortunately for me, she was fine. I want you to know that was humbling. But the truth is, life happens. And it's messy sometimes. And when Jesus knocks, when you know what that means? When you hear something from the Word, or the Lord's dealing with you about something, you hear something in a song and it begins to deal with your heart, you see something in Scripture, it begins to deal with your heart, that's Jesus knocking. He's saying, I need in right here. And you're like, oh no, I haven't tended to that in a while. You can't come in. No, he's coming in broom in hand. He's coming in broom in hand. He's not coming in with a white glove to see what you've done wrong. He's coming in to help. Now, if Rusty would have told me this man and woman came over to clean my house while I was gone. Y'all, I've gotten way over. I am so humble when it comes to people cleaning my house. Come on. I do still make the bed before the lady comes to clean. I'll be like, oh, we got to clean the house. Jan's coming in the morning. I know. But I say, I want her cleaning, not picking up. I want her scrubbing toilets, cleaning bathtubs, washing, you know, mopping floors. So I clean before she cleans so that she'll clean what I don't have time to clean. It's so humbling to say, this is a mess. I need your help. And y'all, it doesn't mean you have a bad home. It doesn't mean you have a bad marriage. It just means you made a mess. Today's message is prep for the hard stuff that's coming in the weeks to come. The Lord wants your heart to be ready for you to say, I hear you. Come on. Come on, talk to me about it. I'm ready to talk about it. And let him in. Psalm 103. This is just prep, heart prep is what we'll call it, I guess. I titled today's message, Anybody Home? ? Psalm 103, verse 10, I'm reading it out of the NIV. Talking about God here. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? So far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. He didn't ever think I was perfect. I'm just perfect for him. He didn't ever think I would do everything right. He died because he knew I wouldn't do everything right. He just loves me. He just has compassion on me. And this is the heart of God. He remembers that we are dust. So he's not going to come in with a white glove treatment and check for dust. He already knows. He told me that in his word. He remembers that we are dust. And this is the mindset that I want us to work on having as we enter this series. He already knows. He already knows. Why not talk to him about it? And so, can we take a moment and let's hop in a time capsule and go back to the first home. Let's go back to the first family and just take a look. Will y'all do that with me? I'm going to summarize Genesis 1. God's created this perfect place. I try to imagine in my mind, have you ever been to Garvin Gardens, Busch Gardens, some of those places? I try to imagine what the Garden of Eden could have even possibly looked like, Candace, without any curse on the earth. Mm-hmm. Beauty in the mind of God put into physical form. Wow. Wow. No, that makes my head spin. For God to look at it and say, that's very good. Very good in the mind of God. I mean, I just walk into a beautiful place or look at the ocean and I'm overwhelmed with the beauty of God. And that's in a cursed earth. Come back to me, Lisa. We're not at the beach yet. So God has prepared everything that mankind needs to live in the goodness of God. We just sang about it, right? He's prepared this place that has everything in it that man needs. He creates male and female. And we're going to go into gender. Because you cannot, not today, probably next week. We're going to go into gender because gender is a divine part of God's plan. His plan cannot work if you do not understand how important your God-given gender is in the home. We've got to have an understanding of it or we really can't go any further, right? So we'll talk about that probably next week. But he creates male and female and he gives them instruction. He doesn't just leave them to figure this out on their own. He tells them they have dominion. He tells them they're supposed to guard and to keep this life that he's given them. And in the last verse of Genesis 1, that's when he says, God looked at it and he said, it's very good. This is very good. They were made in God's image. They were made in his likeness. And then chapter 2 tells us that God took of the ground and he molded and he formed man. Men, we need you. I need you. And we need you to be men. And we'll talk about that. And I've been listening to a teaching, and I've listened to it twice. I've sent it to the guys, and I got tickled. I have to tell it. Tuesday, I was with Mom, and I was vacuuming her house, and she said, you know, turn that off. You know, she likes to boss me when I'm over there helping. She likes to tell me how to do it. She said, turn that off. I want you to come hear this. She said, I don't usually listen to this guy. She said, but listen to this. And he was teaching a message called Act Like a Man. And man, I'm taking some good stuff out of that. I can't wait to re-preach it. As Jonah used to say, perfect it and preach it. It's important that we understand gender. God took the dust of the ground and he formed man. He molded man. He made man what he wanted man to be. And that doesn't mean everybody's going to watch the Super Bowl today. That may not be what God put in you. It may be that you're going to go home and start working on the poetry love letter you're going to give to your wife for Valentine's Day. That's a man. Start working on it, baby. Just think of words that rhyme. Get the kids to help you. It's great. He formed what God envisioned man. Ladies, we need to appreciate that. Appreciate it, babe. You look very nice today, by the way. They were made, he was made in his likeness. God breathed into him his DNA. God's DNA after his likeness breathed into him his DNA. That is who God created man to be. And then God himself opened up the side of man, took out part of man and made, and my parents both taught me that that word made meant skillfully handcrafted. I got one woman in the house that said amen to that. Woman, he skillfully handcrafted, built. My dad used to say, man, you were squeezed together, but your woman is built. I've told the women at Ladies Agape when we taught on the gender of womanhood to write on their mirrors, I am built. And it's still on my mirror today. And I had one of the younger teenage girls send me a message. She said, I have that on my mirror. I am built. Who God saw a woman to be. Built to have children. Built with a chamber. And if you weren't able to conceive, do not see that wrong. You still have what God put in you. You are a woman. And he took her and he presented her to the man. And the man was so enthralled when he saw what God had made for him. He said, oh, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. That's like that engagement day. That's like that, hey, we're fixing to get married baby day. That's enthralled with what God has given you. They're in this perfect place. There's this built woman. There's this greatly formed man. What could go wrong? Turn with me to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Genesis 2. We're going to do quite a bit of reading here. Genesis 2. Let's skip down to verse 24. This is right after Eve is presented to Adam. The first marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Everybody gets excited about that part, right? And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. In this moment, they see no flaws. Adam, look what I've brought to you. Eve, look what I'm bringing you to. Oh, they're enthralled. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. They were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Y'all, this corresponds, with 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 and 17, that we no longer see people after the flesh. And we need to take those two verses from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 and 17, and apply it to our home. We're choosing not to look at each other after the flesh anymore. For we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And just like God's mercies are new every morning, maybe mine need to be too.
That's good. Come on.
See, sometimes we separate what the Scripture says from applying the Scripture in our home. That's where we ought to be best at it. And I have to say, that's a work in progress for me. You did good, not amen, and right there, babe. I'm real proud of you. I know it's hard. Let's dip down into chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the garden. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest we die. And I'm going to try not to get off on a gazillion different messages here. Okay, let's stick with today's subject. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Now God had given them instruction. This is how you're to operate in this garden. I'm going to say this is how you are to operate in this home. He's given you instruction. This is how you operate in a home. And right here, we already see that Eve is missing something. And she doesn't have a full comprehension of what God has asked of her. But the woman, serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. See our decisions. Ladies, let me tell you something. You are a powerful being.
Amen. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I hate manipulation. Ladies, we need to use our power that God places, the influence that God placed in us, to turn our husbands in the right direction, not the wrong direction. And we sure don't need to use it to manipulate them to get what we want in our flesh. Women tend to be very manipulative because they know the power they hold. Need I say more? She gave her husband to eat of it, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Now they're beginning to see faults. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, who told you that? Tim Brooks' message, right? "Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." No! He said, "The woman that you gave me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The honeymoon was over. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The devil did it. It was the serpent. He beguiled me, and I did eat." I find this fascinating. God came knocking. "Adam, are you home?" Adam looked at Eve and said, "Honey, go get the door. Tell them I'm not home." That is exactly what just happened. Eve looked at the serpent and said, "Get the door." God said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam didn't step up. He didn't step up. And I know, do I want to go there? I am. I need a shield or something. I know that strong women get a bad rap. But if it wasn't for strong women, there'd be a lot of kids go to hell for the lack of men being husbands and fathers in their home. It's just true. We have a fatherless generations. Fatherless. Father, the very word father. Your kids have a picture of Father God from Father Daddy. And they have to overcome things if it's pictured wrong. We'll talk about something. And that's not to condemn, but hey, let's turn this boat around. You're important in the plan of God. Amen. You are important. And so God said, Adam, where are you? He said, honey, get the door. And God said to Eve, what's going on? What is this you've done? She didn't own it either. This is what I've learned about myself. I need to grow up and own some things, because I can't grow past them if I don't acknowledge them. God didn't turn to the serpent and ask anything. He asked Adam, he asked Eve, but he didn't turn to the serpent and ask anything. He made a vow to the serpent that there's one coming that's going to gain back what you just got when man bowed their knee to you. And you're not forever going to have dominion over my creation. That's a temporary situation, because there's one coming that is going to break your power. Jesus came, the serpent's out of the way. The serpent's out of the way. We can choose to follow the ways of the world. We can choose to follow what the enemy is bringing into our lives, the strife that he's tried to bring into our homes, the situations he's tried to bring into our lives, the hurt that he's brought that's trying to make us bitter. We can choose that, but we don't have to, because his power, his dominion, his authority is, we have a choice. He's not our Lord. We, through Jesus Christ, we have a choice to make Jesus our Lord, which means to make the Word our Lord. And that means when I come in here and I find something about woman, I have to adjust accordingly. Don't worry about woman being preachers. We'll cover that in a whole service, okay? Or I'll have John do it, or Dylan. We have to, it's going back just like to the garden. He said, here it is. This is everything you need. Everything we need is in the garden of his word. Everything that we need. Now, it doesn't just jump on us any more than the fruit in the garden just jumped on Adam. He was supposed to till the ground. And he was supposed to expand the garden. He was supposed to keep growing things. He was supposed to keep it. He was supposed to have dominion there, keep out anything that would try to come into it. Same thing right here. He's saying, here's my instruction. This is what home is to look like. This is what man is to look like. This is what woman is to look like. This is very good. And we're supposed to keep out the other voices that says, but men did this to me. And without saying it, ladies, sometimes we say, therefore I hate man. That's just as much the serpent as what we just read. God formed man. Whether that man may not be walking in it, but men, you can. Women, we may not be walking in it, but we can. And nobody else around us should determine if we are or not.
That's really good. That's good.
Who is my Lord? What happened to me?
Come on.
Is the hurt, do I want hurt to lord over me?
No.
That's an ugly thing. That's an ugly woman. You can take a beautiful body and put an ugly hurt in it, and what you're going to see is, who's my Lord? Who's going to tell me what a woman is? Who's going to tell me what a man is? The Word of God. The Word of God. And I realize that sometimes this is harder to live out than it is for me to say it. And I'm not doubting anybody's hurt. I'm just saying, if we really think about this, we want to go God's way. We want to go God's way. He has a beautiful life. He has a beautiful life for me. He's provided everything that pertains to life and godliness. The scripture promises that. He's given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given it to me. Now I apply it to my life. I choose joy. The joy of the Lord, it is my strength. Did anybody have opportunity last week to use last week's message on His grace is sufficient for me? I can't tell you how many times that was my answer to people. How are you doing? His grace is sufficient for me. What are you doing today? His grace is sufficient for me. We got tickled. We were, I'll let y'all rest a little bit because that other part was kind of heavy. We had 7 ball games between Friday night and Saturday night in 3 different towns. And sometimes we just look at each other. First of all, I usually say, what else would we be doing? And we can rest later. And His grace is sufficient for us. And we had a great time with our, this was just 2 grandchildren. All those games were just with 2 grandchildren. But, you know, I can walk around angry and tired. Or I can play at the park with the 3-year-old between ball games. And when we sang that song about the goodness of God, I want everybody in this room to be able to sing it and go, I mean, I have lived in the goodness of God. But this happened to you. Oh, you don't know. You just don't know. I don't sing, so bear with me. Anna, help, you may have to help me. I love your voice. Let me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as my friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. It's not that we don't go through stuff. It's that He wants in.
Yes, that's it right there. Come on.
Yeah. He wants in. Serpent's out of the way. His power in the godly home has been broken. That just leaves me and you. Please answer the door. Don't look at me and say, honey, answer the door. But you know what? Here's the truth. Aren't y'all thankful for Rusty?
Yes.
Not every man could do this. I'm just going to tell you. It's the truth. Hetty Lou Brooks looks at him all the time and she says, he's your Don Brooks. He's your Don Brooks. And I'm like, yes, yes, he is. If you don't know Hetty Lou, you just don't know. If God comes to the door and Rusty says, honey, get the door. If God's dealing with Rusty about something in the home and he doesn't answer the door, and God looks at me and says, what's this you've done? Then I need to step up. The point is, if God's dealing with you and you're hearing God dealing with you, you answer. You answer because, you know, we can get mad if husbands don't step up, or we can get mad if women don't respond the way we feel like they're supposed to respond. We'll cover submission one day. It's not an ugly word. It's a beautiful word when we have right understanding of it. And we don't respond. There is no one else. I mean, you can say it because you're poor. You can say it because you're rich. You can say it's because you have a job. You can say it's because you don't have it. That's the serpent. All of that's been dealt with by the cross. We can say it's because we're, you know, because I was raised this way or I was raised that way. That's old stuff. That's past stuff. That's stuff that can't be changed. It can only be forgotten or dealt with. And so it's just me and you. And that's the way I ended my notes today was, it's just me and him. If God's going to deal with our home, it's me or you, or it's us. Now, some of you have a home where it's going to be you. My mother always said this in talking about forgiveness. She said, you know, sometimes you get mad because you're like, God, why am I always the one that has to forgive? And God, you know, was dealing with my mom. And he said, it's the person who first notices something's wrong. That's who's responsible to do something. The person who first notices something is wrong. What great parents I had. I mean, more and more, the older I get, the more I'm like, oh my goodness, my mother taught me this. My dad taught me that I was skillfully handcrafted. You know, it took the devil disguised as somebody else to get me to think anything else. And I bought the lie. But I was raised up that I was skillfully handcrafted until I was rejected. And I took the rejection, and it drove my life for a while. But the devil's in trouble because I'm back. When God heals a man or a woman, it's powerful. That's why he's so after your identity. That's why the world is in an identity crisis. When we've been reborn and we've been re-identified according to the Word of God, man, it changes home. Amen. It changes home. And y'all have good homes, and I'm thankful, but I want you to know you got issues because I got issues. And I want us to have that understanding that if you've got an issue, you can talk to somebody in the body about it, and you can seek out wisdom. I'm going to make a list of suggested podcasts, and I'm going to have Dylan and John help me with this. But, you know, there are some really good things you can be putting in your ear to help you change the areas that need to be changed. And my dad used to say this, such a great little phrase. He would say, Susan, don't jerk the wheel. Which means don't see where you need correction or where something needs to change and jerk the wheel and overcorrect and flip the car. Okay, if you're sitting here today and you're going, okay, yep, I see that right there. Just start. You know, there's something when you see you're going to run off the road and that you're headed in a ditch, don't overcorrect. Just start making some little changes. Start making some little changes and grow in your home. Do it together if you can, but if you can't, do it. You change. You change, and we use this analogy, I think it was last week. When you take a balloon and you squeeze one end of it, you put pressure on one end of it, it changes the whole thing, right? When I change, everyone around me is affected. When you change, everyone around you is affected. So let's just listen this week. How about we ask the Lord to show us? Show me. Everybody just say, I'll get the door.
I'll get the door.
And if you're married, say, honey, I'll get the door. Honey, I'll get the door. Okay. You know, that's a commitment. And if you meant it, then I'm going to expect the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church, I just present the word. When y'all leave here is really when you get something or not. You either leave what you heard right here, or you take it home and you let the Holy Spirit minister to you how it applies to your life. But I want to see Christian homes being the city on a hill, being a light in the darkness, and not that we don't have issues. And please don't portray the Facebook image of your perfect home, because it sets up, I mean, people should know that they're not failing just because they have a family issue. And this is why Rusty and I are very open about the fact that we've both been married before. Because there are many ministries that I know of that nobody knows they were married before. Now, we don't get up here and make a big talk about it. But I think it's important. I think it's important. And occasionally you'll hear me say where, you know, things I did wrong, areas that I was thinking wrong in. And I want you to know that. And I hope that you're okay with that. I'm not going to air any dirty laundry or anything. But, you know, there's stuff. I was spoiled. Ken's known me a long time. I was spoiled by my mom and dad. I was daddy's girl, and I'm not afraid to tell you that. And I pretty well got anything I wanted. My parents were so good that I can't even tell you anything they did wrong. Isn't that the truth? It's the truth. And so I had this idea. Now, I forget the fact that they had already been married how many years before I was born. And while I was being raised, and I didn't see the iron sharpening iron part of the marriage. I wasn't in on any of that. Any of that maturing. They were pretty mature by the time they had me. Because they had already had David, and then mom had lost two babies before me. So, you know, maturity, life had already happened for them. They had already done a lot. Sometimes these young couples look at these older couples and they're like, well, we're doing it wrong. We don't look like Dylan and Rachel. Y'all are old couple now. Already called Dylan old once this week. Y'all got kid, you know. You look at, you know, and you think, oh my goodness, she's not acting like Rachel. Or he's not acting like Dylan. We are growing. Our homes are growing. We are growing. We are maturing. And so don't compare yourselves among yourselves, because Scripture says, that's not wise. We can look at each other and learn from each other and go sit down with other couples. If you've got an issue, don't go out and party with couples that are cheating on each other, have a horrible marriage. Well, let's go drink with them this weekend. No. You put yourself with a couple who is loving. Who is, let me tell you a big word, and we'll... Man, I don't know how many weeks this is going to take. Respect. A man who respects his woman and a woman who respects her man. That's a good place to start right there. And let it rub off. Put yourself with people. Don't put yourself with people that are like you. Put yourself with other couples. Or even if you're single, place yourself in company of a man that you want to be like, a woman that you want to be like, and let that fellowship rub off on each other. God created the body for that. Amen? Amen. Oh, I'm rambling. This is going to be great. This is going to be great, and we're going to enjoy it. And I can't hardly wait to talk about gender, because why would the enemy so come after gender? Why would the enemy try to erase gender? Why would the enemy try to distort gender? It has to be powerful, and it has to be part of God's plan, because that's the only thing the enemy cares about. He don't care about us. He cares about messing up God's divine plan. So it'll be a fun one. Y'all can pray for me before I go into that in the coming weeks. And, you know, I even had the thought, and this is sad, I had the thought, should we not live stream that? I know. I'm just telling you. We're going to. Ken, don't look at me like that. My board member's over here going, you're getting weak on me, sis. But seriously, there's such an attack that the world has put fear on the church. And when we had the sweatshirts made for the year that we studied gender at Ladies Agape, we had sweatshirts made for the women that said woman, like the definition, you know, woman, divine part, how did we say it? An indispensable part of God's gender in God's divine plan, I think is how we put it, definition of woman. You know, those were not our best sellers. We don't make money on them, by the way. We sell them for cost. But they were not our best sellers. And you know why? People are afraid to wear them. It is the truth. If God made you a woman, it is very good. It is part of His plan. And it is a beautiful part of His plan. And it is good. If you God created you a man, you are a part of God's divine plan. And don't put a picture on what you think manhood is. Let's get in the Word and let the Word show us what a man is. Amen. Y'all can stand. I'm rambling. Hello, balcony dwellers. The kids are having Super Bowl Sunday upstairs. And I just want y'all to know I didn't check my hair after I ran through the tunnel. But I did have to go up and go through the tunnel this morning. And all of the children's church workers are dressed in referee uniforms. And I heard that they're making extra money from the Chiefs this year. I'm sorry. I had to look at... I'm sorry, that was so in the flesh, but I saw Todd over there in that Kelsey jersey, and I just thought I had to go there. I'll make sure you tip the children's church workers before they leave. Karen will appreciate it. I'm just here for the food. That's all. Food and my grandkids, and we're going to cheer on whoever my grandkids are cheering on. That's who I'm going to cheer on, but it's going to be a good day. Spend it with your family. If you're alone, my goodness, go out. There's a whole world of people out there that need to be loved on at Walmart, at the grocery store. You don't have to be alone. You can love on somebody for the Lord today. Amen. Father, we have softened our hearts towards the dark places, the things that we don't post, the things that nobody sees. We have seen that you know we're framed of dust. It's not a shock to you. Father, I thank you that you have compassion on us as a father pities his children. That when you see us hurting, that when you see us going the wrong way, that your kindness is there for us. And Father, we are inviting you in. We're inviting you in. We're inviting your word in. We're inviting you to deal with the places, the hurt places. For you're tender. And you are love. And you want us whole so that we're not always seeking attention in the wrong way. But it is your face that we need to see. Everything we are and were created to be is found in your eyes. And we want to see it. I thank you that healing begins for some people in the room today. We want to be made whole. If you're asking, Father, if we want to be made whole, the answer is yes for me. And we thank you that your word is dealing with us all. And we're going to grow from here. And we thank you for it. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. The church said, amen. Amen.